dope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little... Put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the Bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
How do you feel about your golf picks so far? Fine?
I feel all right.
A couple guys might be dead.
Yeah, that's pretty clear. Yeah.
Spawn,
Kim.
Kim, 77s, seven
yeah,
over.
Yeah.
Probably that's dead. Yeah. Does anybody win from seven over?
I did make it clear that I was taking Siwoo Kim, right? Not Tom Kim.
You did.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure. I saw Tom Kim, like, even. I'm like, can I try that? No. I think I said Siwoo.
Bait and Kim?
Yeah. There's a couple of guys that are in real trouble. But, I mean, even Koepka ended up, I think, two over. He's three over, so five back. Like, that's manageable, I think. So, I've got other guys in between there, right?
Yes.
So, like, Rory and Oberg are both, what, two back, three back? Three's the lead now.
An amateur leads.
Yeah. Well, that won't last.
Oh. Listen to that.
I feel okay about the picks. Okay. I did not see DeChambeau coming. He's having a very good start, anyway. He started during our show. So.
Well, he's won this event.
Right.
And, you know, he's mostly a top player, so that wouldn't surprise you that much that he's going to maybe contend, right?
I'm stunned.
Why?
Because he's looked terrible in, like, the last... Since he won the U.S. Open 2 years ago, he's, I think, mostly been a disaster in the majors.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, comically bad.
I remember some of that.
Yeah. So
his winning wouldn't be more shocking than this amateur.
No. No.
Or Ben James.
Yeah.
Or some of these other people.
No, he's a big famous guy who's won tournaments. Like, so you know it's in there. It just hasn't been there very much.
You never gave him a thought?
Not even once.
Okay.
No. And he wasn't even, I don't know where he was in the odds. He probably was in the top 20. But he, I think, for the first major this year, maybe even the second, he was like, no, it was Rahm and Rory and Scotty probably all three times. I'm trying to think, like, how high he was. But I feel like he's been someone way up there.
You didn't pick Fleetwood?
I don't like Fleetwood.
Analytics.
Everybody likes him. He's dressing like the dad from Leave It to Beaver, for crying out loud.
Did you see the tweet?
I cannot get behind a guy that looks like Ward Cleaver.
The show has never sounded older. Did you see the tweet that compared his outfit today to Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting?
No, I didn't see that. No.
He said, a woman wrote, this guy looks like he might have just skipped the Red Sox Carlton Fisk game to go see about a girl.
I kind of like the whole fit, but I just, he's just sort of over there by himself.
Interesting.
With the deal.
It feels like a snub.
I should say I don't like, I've liked him. I just don't like him to win the tournament.
I do.
No, good for you.
I'm all about him.
You should be rooting
for him. I am. Let's go.
I got to tolerate you fist pumping. Thank God you're off tomorrow. You're fist pumping good shots by DeChambeau, which is just nauseating.
I love this game.
Oh, this bet is great.
I love this game. I'm listening to Jeremy, and I'm listening to Matt Larkin, and I'm listening to Matt Collar, but I look up, and I know immediately if it's one of your guys or not, and if it's good or bad, I'm into it.
You have not.
John Rahm.
You haven't stooped to, I hope this guy snaps his ankle on a sprinkler head. Will often do, that's me. But you have been wishing ill upon my players. I've heard you. It's over the green and into the way. You're like begging for guys to miss. Which is, you know, that's what the bet is, quintessentially.
I don't feel like I'm over the top on that. Well, but I'm enjoying it. And my reaction means nothing to anything.
Of course.
So
just aggravating to me.
There was somebody up there I'd never seen before who made a putt. I'm like, yeah, let's go. This guy. This is my guy right now.
It's the best feature of the bet.
I love this bet. I mean, I said yesterday a number of times, this is a great day. When the picks, we do the picks. It was you this time. I get the Open Championship. Oh, I already can't wait. Let's go to Dan here. Hi, Dan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, one other potential Tuck replacement that I was thinking about could be the winger Quentin Byfield from the Kings. He scored 24 goals in 79 games last year. That's a lot of goals for the Kings because they didn't score much. And I was thinking maybe he could be I think their penalty kill was around 30th in the league, so maybe you could throw in Byram if you think you can't extend him, and McLeod because he plays on the penalty kill. Maybe something like that to try to kind of have an upgrade at the forward position, and then you'll save a little cap space with getting rid of those two players, and then maybe you can kind of allocate some of that.
I like the player. I'm curious where you got – is this just your own idea, or have you read this somewhere? Because I don't know – it would really surprise me if the Kings – oh, I guess, I mean, it's no more surprising than the Leafs maybe wanted to move off of Matthew Knies to me. I'm not sure why they would want to divest themselves of Quentin Byfield myself. But I like the player. I mean, it's a fine idea. Have you read this somewhere?
My idea.
Okay, gotcha.
No, just my idea.
Yep.
Is he – that's a trade then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's under contract for
– like $6 million for the next – probably 4 to 5 years.
28, 29. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. Tell me what it costs.
I think it's the same sort of, I think it's not quite nice, but it's pretty close.
Byram, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what we're talking about.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's a fine idea. I don't think he's at everything that Knies is, and he's not paid as much as Knies either. But he's a nice player, nice young player.
I had a thought today. So many different times along the way with the Sabres this year, it was just like so back. Whatever that was for you, buying something, simply watching games, going to games, whatever it was for you, there was this, of course, this renewed enthusiasm and energy. I had another version of that today.
Oh, yeah?
Let's have the schedule. I want to see the schedule. I love schedules. I love it in football. With the Sabres, for a decade, I've not cared at all. I was going to games, and I ended up moving on from that. But other than that, just, all right, whatever, bunch of weeknights. What are how many afternoon games? How many Leafs? Whatever. But today I was like, let's see it.
Right.
I want to know who I've got here. Who am I opening with? Where am I going? But that's, I think I remember when Mike Gilbert was with the Sabres, his saying that it tended to happen during the baseball All-Star game break. Like one of those days.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's still true, but maybe it'll be a few weeks.
I feel like mid-July is the schedule. But
mid-July.
But I'm like you. I've not. I mean, 2 years. I remember the schedule came out while I was in Spain, which was, so that would have been between June 25th and July 8th or something. Those were the dates that I was away, because I remember the schedule came. You texted me. We had just checked in.
7:30.
We had just checked in. 7:30 games. I'm in this incredible, Vrbo Airbnb in Malaga with a rooftop pool all to ourselves. And, like, my phone's buzzing at the Sabres schedule, and it's you bitching about 7:30 games. Anyway, that's the last time.
That means we stay until 7:30.
That's the last time I can remember when the schedule.
Are they going to have more of those because they're good now?
I don't know what happened.
Are the Sabres America's darling?
Might be more.
Are they the darlings of TNT and ESPN now?
Could be.
7:30. Yeah. Baseball's going the other way.
Earlier.
I mean, so many baseball games every night start at 6:30. What about that idea? Have they thought of that?
I wish they would.
I'd love that. Let's see some 6:30.
I'm all for earlier games. All right, we'll add Quentin Byfield to the, at least the show-generated ideas. Fine enough player.
Sure. Frank is with us. Hello.
Hey, guys. So I recently changed my stance. I think that we should actually keep Alex Tuch. For some reason, I'm weighing the options, and then seeming leaning towards keeping him would actually be better, and it would seem like it would be detrimental to our team's chemistry just to lose him. But I also want to get your opinions on it. Do you think it would be like another 05-06 situation where we lost JP Dumont, and then at the end of the year of the 2006-2007 season, some players have actually said that they were missing that JP Dumont type character? So just want to get your opinion on that. Thank you.
I think there's always going to be a risk here that the team, like emotionally, chemistry-wise, that they're really down about the idea that they couldn't keep the band together. But I think it's pro sports, and guys usually can get over that. Like, they're going to have their own interest in the team this year. And so I think it would be hard for some guys to swallow, depending on how close emotionally they are to Tuck. But all the same, I think they often, I think players can be very similar to fans in this way, which is, okay, well, what are you going to do now? You're taking this player away, Tage Thompson. You're taking my winger away, or my co-winger, or whatever. I don't know if Tage is going to be a center or a winger. Probably depends on what the next few weeks bring, and whether they keep Tuck or not. But you know, you're taking my guy. All right, but who's in his place? Right? They all love Dylan Cousins. And they got Josh Norris. Like, okay, well, Josh Norris is really good. You know, he can't stay healthy now, but guys get over it. So I don't think it has to be devastating or anything. I don't think it approaches the co-captains, but you know, Dumont's a better comp, and you mentioned Dumont. My brain went to, this isn't Drury and Briere. It's not the co-captains. It's not two guys leaving right at the same time after all the success. Dumont is maybe a better fit.
Well, his point, the caller's point was, I think, that he was a precursor, Dumont, that they had a real look at a cup, and he walked, and that was tough. I mean, that was arbitration, and like we don't want to pay you,
right?
Basically, that was Sabres, and that set the table for Drury and Briere. Mm. You know, lacking confidence, they had their own personal experiences, but just like that, the team kind of lost its way.
But in that season, I know they still flamed out, and it didn't even get to Game 7 of the same round that they lost the previous year. But they won the President's Trophy. They were not
correct.
They were not hanging their heads over J.P. Dumont during. You know, I mean, did they miss him at playoff time? Sure, I'm not going to tell you different. I loved Dumont on that team, but their performance. I mean, they won 10 in a row to start the year.
Yeah, right.
So they were not sulking.
Take
about
your chances.
It. So, there is that. So what? You know, I like the caller. Like, I don't think I'm flipping back and forth. I started out really wanting them to keep Tuck just because it feels like this is what always happens. And I don't want to see them take a step back. Like, I don't want Tuck to leave and then you're backfilling with all the kids, like you were talking with Matt Larkin an hour ago, how that's often been our existence. It's like, we got all these guys, and they'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And I'm concerned about that. I don't think that's what they'll settle for, but that doesn't mean that that's not where they'll end up. Like, they may move heaven and earth trying to get Jordan Kyrou or Quinton Byfield or Matthew Nyes or whomever else you want to dream about. It doesn't mean they're gonna do it. There's still no move clauses to be dealt with and all that kind of stuff, that as much as their reputation should have been helped by them having a great year, I'm not assuming that they're going to be able to do whatever it is they think can improve the team while letting Tuck leave. And that might be the best case, because it's the safest. I know what you are. Everyone likes you. You're valuable. I trust that you'll be excellent for at least a little while of this contract. I don't know what'll happen down the road, but I want to keep contending. Tuck's the safest play because it's a bird in the hand. But I'm sort of settling into, if he wants, you know, $11 or $12 million, this is not going to happen here, I don't think.
That seems right.
And I think he'll get that on the open market.
Let's go to Mike next. Hello.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Boone Jenner is a name that was recently linked as possibly going. I look at a guy like Boone Jenner and I say, well, he's a fourth line guy, center, 13 goals, great on faceoffs. And, you know, our biggest problem this year with the power play was faceoffs. I mean, we'd lose the faceoff, it seemed 80% of the time on the power play. That costs a quick 20, 25 seconds because they clear the puck down the ice. When the goalie makes a save and hold on to the puck, we lose the faceoff. And, you know, you pick up a guy like him who's a veteran who can play shorthanded. He can win faceoffs. And on the power play, he wins the faceoff and you get him off of there. I just think that could be a real positive move for the Sabres.
Don't you think they've got Sam Carrick they could do the same thing with?
Like, Carrick's not as good as Jenner on faceoffs. And Carrick's not as good offensively as Jenner. And Jenner's a leader. Jenner's been, you know, a guy in the locker room. He's been one of those guys for years. I just think that he would be a perfect fit for a year, two-year contract. It's not going to cost you that much. And I think they're going to lose Tuck because you can't keep Tuck and Byram. I'd rather have Byram, and we got replacements for Tuck. So
do we actually know any of this? Like Jenner versus Carrick on draws or 80% on power plays? Do we actually know these numbers, or are we just
no, Mike? I mean, okay. 80%.
You're just saying that was most. You felt it was most of the time.
Yeah.
It seems like we lose all the faceoffs on the power play.
Okay, but they don't. And that's, you know, not really what happens. Looks like to me what I'm looking at is Carrick is better in that department than Jenner.
Boone Jenner. Yeah.
Not to say the caller isn't right about the rest of it.
I like the player. I just don't think there's a need. They've got Carrick to play that role. And if they want to use their faceoff guy on power plays like Carolina was doing with Jordan Staal, you know, you win the draw, get off of there. They did some of that. He ended up playing some on the power play too because, you know, whatever. He was hot and scoring. I just think it's a duplicate of a guy you traded for already that's under contract for a very reasonable deal. So, you know, it's to me splitting hairs a little bit. Is Jenner the better overall player? Is he a better skater? Is he a better this or a better that? It's just not a role. It's not a role I need more of on this team.
Okay,
if I trust Carrick, and
is he a trade too?
I tend to no. He's the UFA.
Okay,
so I mean, you could just sign him, but I don't know. I don't think it's a fit myself.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Just looking over my stuff here.
Which stuff is that?
Just different things I wrote down for today.
Oh, I see.
Here's one. Can I change the subject from... Now we get another caller on the Sabres. I don't know. Hopefully it's not face-off stats. Because it doesn't even count. It's not even as serious a thing to be on the hockeyreference.com pages. The team pages. And I don't know. For me, that says something. Billy is next. Hi.
Hey, guys. Yeah, listen, you know, it seems really funny, like it's the way you guys are going through things. It reminds us of what happens up here in Toronto. We want to get this. We want to get that. We want to. And look what it's gotten us. It's gotten us nowhere. Matter of fact, we've taken a bunch of steps back. Look, I really like what the Sabres did this last year. And I'll go off the Sabres, and I'll go to baseball for a second. I thought the Baltimore Orioles, with the prospects they had, were going to rule baseball for the next 5 years, except for maybe the Dodgers. That's how many prospects they had, and that's how good they look. And look what happens. They trade prospect, they trade this guy, they trade that guy for one-year guys, and what happens? The Baltimore Orioles are now irrelevant. Everybody in that organization should be fired, as far as I'm concerned. And that's where it takes me back to the Sabres. I love the way the Sabres looked. I think, yeah, can we improve? Sure. But I think the one thing that we're all not taking into consideration is we've now got that 1 year under our belt, that 1 year of getting better. And everybody has that 1 year of seeing what the playoffs is like. I think we're only going to improve. And, I mean, if we can improve the team by doing something, yeah, I get it, I guess. But the one thing you can't be afraid of is to spend money. And if Tuck's going to cost you that amount of money, spend the damn money on him. If you have prospects down on the farm, that's great. But I don't want to trade Tuck and then these prospects come up and they're not ready and they're not good enough. We hear all the talk of how good they are. I mean, here in Toronto, our team is going to the Calder Cup final. We're up 3-0 on the Chicago team. What does that mean? Does that mean we're going to be great next year? No. Go with the veteran guys. Go with the guys. If you have to pay the money, don't be cheap, and it will reward you in the end.
Well, it doesn't, Billy, it doesn't have to be Tuck or all kids. That's the point. Like, when I can settle into understanding them not wanting to meet an $11 or $12 million a year price tag on a player like Tuck at his age, what I want to know is, because I want to hang on to him too if I can, but that money gets pretty outrageous, I think. Then what am I going to do that isn't just the kids? And it, you know, I can't know what is going to happen and what they're going to do, but in order for me to like sign off on Tuck leaving, I'm going to need some, I need a veteran. I need someone in place. I'm not going to just say, Noah Ostlund, you're our top line winger next year. I'm not prepared to do that. I like those guys, I can't say as much as anyone because maybe people like them more than I do. But I'm just not prepared to just hand it all off to Kulik and the kids. I think I need a cup contender, I think, gets an adult replacement for Alex Tuck.
I think that's all very reasonable. One reason why I got into this job, this career, was because I would listen to shows like this and be like, wait, no, somebody has to say the thing. Can anybody think of one player the Orioles traded? Anybody out there actually pay attention to the caller? Like, fire all the Orioles executives because they traded all? I can't think of any. There's probably one.
I don't know.
Their team right now, Brian is an Orioles fan. Ask Brian. All he's right. Next. Their team right now is all those kids.
Right.
They didn't trade all those guys. They kept them.
What they did is they underperformed. They looked like they were breaking through. 3 years ago, I watched a bunch of the Orioles.
They're all there.
Gunnar,
Rutschman, right. Bisaio, Mayo, Couser, Bradish, they're all still there.
What they didn't do is come through as quickly and as
what's he talking
well
about?
As everyone thought they were going to.
What is this guy talking about? He hung up before I could get my mitts on him. What is he talking about with the Orioles? He wants to fire all the Orioles people because they did a thing they didn't do?
That sounds reasonable.
Maybe there's got to be somebody he's thinking of for that. Why would you pull that out of your pocket and use it if you didn't have some backup? But, like, what? That would happen at all. Not to mention what's going on in the American Hockey League. I don't have anything on that. But I just feel like the Orioles are all those same guys, and they're all, like, mid-20s, and they're losing. Their pitchers all got hurt. That didn't help. They traded Grayson Rodriguez. Rodriguez was hurt for, like, 2 years and went to the Angels, and now he's hurt again.
Wasn't there? I've got that name of an outfielder in my head that I feel like I've seen playing somewhere else, but I'm not sure if he was one of the young guys.
O'Neill?
Santander,
maybe.
I think he's somewhere else.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's right. Yeah. Maybe there's got to be one.
Yeah, he might be the one the guy's thinking of.
Okay.
That's
Brian.
There's not a long list of them.
I'm not sure how serious Brian is about the Orioles anymore, but they also have added young guys. Like, Boz is their top pitcher. One of them, and they got him, and he's young. They added him. Anyway, it's just annoying to drive around and listen to shows where somebody doesn't say the thing that, like, what? I try to do that. So do you. Brian Koziol next. We'll talk about the U.S. Open on WGR.